Well, my phone says 9 o'clock, so let's go ahead and get started. And as we do, though, let's open up with a word of prayer. All right. Father, we do thank you for just still a cold morning out there. You sent us a week of cold winter weather. You're a providential God. You're a sovereign God, and that's what you sent. And yet, Father, it may warm up today. We just thank you for that. Father, just thank you for each one that's here this morning, whether here in this class or across the in the main building, for those that'll be coming later, the worship service. Father, just pray it'd be a good time, all the time here this morning at Cornerstone, and that, Father, you'd be the focus, and that we'd glorify you, exalt Christ. Father, just thank you for the opportunity. I pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, we started last week into the matter of spiritual gifts. We will conclude on that today, all right? And there's a handout there that I think we started with last week, and so I only printed off enough for what was last week, and then we have some more that will continue on today. But before we get into spiritual gifts, I'm going to attempt to give you a little history of Cornerstone Bible Church, all right? Because very little, yes.
He was the first baby born in this church. Paulina was his mom.
So, that is, that's basically true. I was actually born before the church started, but only by about a month or so. In fact, there's even some dates in here, all right? So, yes, I was a baby in the nursery when the church started. So, this is a history of Cornerstone Bible Church. I worked together with Mary Power. How many of you know Mary Power? Okay, yeah, most of you. She's 90, 95-ish, I don't know what, and she and her husband are part of the very beginnings of this church. I was too, but I was only about that long. So they weren't asking me any input at that time, although I was probably giving them some. But. All right, so I've kind of worked on this, and I wouldn't say I'm an expert at writing history, but here's some history of Cornerstone Bible Church, and you just might tell me afterwards what you think, all right? Okay, the initial beginnings of Cornerstone Bible Church took place in the year of 1962. And the individuals that initially began this church were members at First Baptist Church in downtown Wichita. I think that structure is now a church by the name of City Life, okay? There was a downtown church. That church, First Baptist, that time had recently made the decision to join the American Baptist Convention. But there was a little group of individuals that did not believe that joining the American Baptist Convention was the right decision because they were rather ecumenical in their leanings. And you could probably say that's probably still true for that organization today. And as well, those individuals believed that it was biblical for local churches to be autonomous from authority beyond the local church leadership. So the outcome is there was a group of six men. I'll just name these men because I found documents that had them. Charles Karp, he would have been an uncle of mine. Harry DeBoer, Judson Gilliland, Bill Holliday, Nathan Meisenheimer, and Royal Power. That was the late husband of Mary Power. All right, they were all a part of the beginnings. They met together October 13, 1962, to consider the possibility of establishing a new church. 11 days later, the decision is made to, yes, they will form a new church. On November 21 of 1962, the name was chosen of Beth Eden Baptist Church, which was always a rather unique name, but Beth House, right? If you go back in Hebrew, house, and Eden, okay, happiness, pleasure. And so when that name was chosen, they then said, they just chose that, they said that the meaning was the house of happiness, okay? And they chose that name because it was representative of the spiritual life they wished to emphasize. And if you'd go back and you look at a lot of the documents that are always printed from that church that had the church name on there, then underneath that, it would say the house of happiness. It was just the way things were documented back then. So the first official service of the newly formed church was held December 2nd, 1962, at Meade Intermediate School. A building was purchased on January 18 of 1963, so not very long. It was purchased from a Presbyterian church at the corner of Market and Harry, which is a parking lot today. Okay. That building then caught fire three times in or around 1980. We couldn't recall the exact year, but I think it was maybe 80 or 81. Some of those fires, like there was three of them in a row, were set by arson. Okay. After the third fire, the building was condemned by the city, being deemed unsafe. The Lord brought further testing to the church during that same time because the pastor that had been there for nearly 10 years had just agreed to take a new pastorate in California before the fires occurred. Just before the fires occurred. So now you have a church without a full-time pastor or a building. So for a period of time, the church utilized outside pulpit supply as well as men within the church for preaching and teaching. The church met in various rented facilities. I can remember this, meeting in a Seventh-day Adventist church on Sunday mornings. They would rent that to us for Sunday mornings. This property here, that was ongoing until this property here was purchased in the fall of 1981. So that I get some information on that. So that means the fires had to be prior to 1981. By the way, did I make note? Yeah, this was purchased from River Lawn Christian Church. It's north up here. That's who we purchased this from. The Lord has been tremendously merciful and good to this church over the years. It has had its ups and downs, but there's always been men and families that were committed to biblical truth that prevented its decline away from Scripture. The overall trend of this church has been to become more biblically focused and mature, a more mature church over time. During the late 1990s and the early 2000s, a couple of things were introduced to the church that helped this church continue to mature biblically. One matter was there was a change from congregational governance to a leadership by a plurality of elders. I could not tell you the exact year that occurred, but it was probably late 90s, early 2000s. The second matter was the teaching of the doctrine of God's sovereignty in the matter of individuals coming to salvation. And I wasn't sure how to say this, but I said, you know, that was important because it began to move to a more biblical way of thinking about people turning to Christ. And rather than trying to focus on mere human persuasion, all right? It deepened the understanding that no one can be persuaded to repent and trust Christ without God himself awakening them to their spiritual lostness. And so then, rather than trying to intellectually convince people to make a decision about Christ, the aim became to clearly present the gospel and trusting the Holy Spirit to convict a person of their sin and open their minds to see the preciousness of Christ's atoning sacrifice, whereby the individual truly desires to come to Christ for full forgiveness and a righteous standing before God. In or around 2010, the name of the church was changed from Beth Eden Baptist, which I mentioned there earlier, to the current name of Cornerstone Bible Church and in large part, the name was changed because when people hear the name Baptist, you know, say, this is a Baptist church, that can bring up all kinds of assumptions in people's mind of what that means or what that church represents. So with that being the case, it was just considered best to change the name. And so to look back at the history of what is now Cornerstone Bible Church, is to look back and affirm that God is a faithful God. He has shown much grace and much mercy to our church over 63 years. Okay? He has preserved it and he has protected it for those years, and he deserves all of our gratitude. And in that, I'm just reminded of 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Now I can say the Lord's done that for this body over the years. He strengthened it and he has protected it from Satan. In Psalm 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. And so I think we can obviously see God's kindness to this church over 63 years. So that's a brief history of our church. So you might let me know afterwards what you think of that, if that can be tweaked some way. That's kind of maybe a work in progress. So I'm not a historian, but it does give you a sense of background of where we come from. Okay, thank you. Okay, spiritual gifts. Let me take a look at our time here. All right. If you remember, last week began our discussion on spiritual gifts. And so maybe I'll start off, maybe one question here, quiz. Who determines each individual believer's giftedness? God. Be even more specific. Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. So that's correct. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, has gifted some believers? All. Each believer. Okay. And as such, we learned last week that we should not ignore or depreciate our gift. All right. That's not our choice to do. All right. We should accept it and be grateful for what God has gifted us with. But on the other hand, neither should we be arrogant over our gift and take the point that, well, we think my gift is more valuable than somebody else's gift. Okay. Because that truth brings us to our next point, which would be point four. We went through 3 points last week. Point four, gifts, spiritual gifts, they are grace. I think I put it on your outline there. They are grace through and through. So to bring this point to you biblically, go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, particularly in this matter of their gifts being a grace that are given to us. Because that last point we talked about, we should not be arrogant about our gifts, because our gifts are just that. They are a gift. Okay? We didn't earn them. We didn't set out to set up what we would have. No, they are a gift to us, 100% from God. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Today we're going to look at verse 10 and 11. Right now I just want to go to verse 10. Okay, I'm going to read that verse, and then we're going to work through it phrase by phrase. Just the understanding of spiritual gifts. Verse 10. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, now I read that out of the NASB. You probably can see maybe a slight difference in words on a different translation. But this verse 10, it reminds us that each one, each believer, has received a gift. Let's just take a look at this word gift, all right? That first phrase, as each one has received a special gift, or as each one has received a gift, as that gets translated in English. That word, which gets translated over as gift, comes from the very grace of God. In fact, that word gift there is really taken from a base word of charis, which is simply grace. Okay, this gift is a grace from God that he has given to you. In fact, that's not the only grace gift God has given you. Think of your salvation alone. That is a gift from God. How about the Holy Spirit indwelling you? That is a gift from God. The gifted pastors and teachers, you can find that in Ephesians chapter 4. Those are a gift to the church of which we all benefit from, right? Those are a gift. Those are not things that we just bring up on our own. Those are gifts from God. and then the Holy Spirit enabling you to benefit the body by your giftedness, that is a gift from God. Okay? So God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, has determined what each believer has and what each believer is provided in a way of a gift out of His grace. But that being the case, what do we then do with that gift? Okay? That grace gift, that enablement that each believer has, which is unique to each believer, what should we do with that? Well, let's go to the next phrase, all right? So the first phrase was, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. All right? So, I'm going to back up here a bit. Before we go to that employing your gift, there's another point I want to bring out. Go back to that first phrase. Each one is received. Each one is received. I want to take a moment on that. When you think of receiving something, there's two ways you can view it. Number one, let's say I'm staying up there and you wanted to bring me a candy bar and you just walk by and you put a candy bar on my on this table up here and you walk out and I'm like, oh, candy bar. Yeah, not my favorite thing, whatever. Anyway, well, you just gave me a gift, right? But when you look at this word receive here in verse 10, that's a verb. That receiving is a verb, okay? There's an action to this. It's not simply passive where somebody sticks up in your pocket and heads off. It's the thought of grasping it, okay? And this gift is you receive it once, all right, but you receive this with ongoing results. And so the thought is that gift, which was given to you, needs to be grasped. And then when we grasp that, then we go to work with it, all right? It's like if you are out running. I don't know if we have any runners or anybody or people that exercise heavily, and you're out somewhere outside, it's hot, and you didn't take quite enough water with you. And now you're getting really, really thirsty, and somebody comes along and offers you the gift of a bottle of water. How would you receive that? Oh, yeah, whatever.
No, you
grab a hold of it, and you drink it, right? And so, likewise, we should not be ho-hum about how God has enabled us and gifted us. We should grab a hold of it, lay a hold of it, and go to work with it. Which then takes us to the next one of to employ it in serving one another, all right? Serve others. We serve others' needs. Your giftedness that God has provided you is to care for the needs of others or benefit them in a spiritual, biblical sense. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is not for you. How you can help people is for helping others. It's not for you. And we just need to move forward in a way that allows our abilities to serve and to help others within the body. Which takes to the next point, that when we're serving others, we're stewarding that gift. All right. So if you take that second phrase and you continue on with it, it says, employ it, that is your gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards. Okay, so what's a steward? I'll just ask that question. Perfect. Yeah. Somebody who watches over somebody else's stuff. Okay? So, this term here, and when it was written by Peter, was really, it would reference a household steward, right? Somebody else owned the house and all the goods and everything that was in it. But then an individual, a steward, was given the responsibility to oversee that, to oversee the household. And so likewise, our giftedness as believers, that those abilities aren't owned by us. They're owned by God, who has given you as a believer responsibility to serve and employ that gift. So the message is, use it, and develop it. Okay? And I know that word develop. Just because you don't own it doesn't mean that you can't develop it. Right? That means whatever, you know, and don't make that too complicated, that whatever ability you have that you could serve the body of Christ, you can serve the Lord, if you can find ways to improve it, do so. Right? I mean, I think this morning we'll be singing. There's going to be instrumentalists. There'll be people back there running in the sound booth. You know what? If somebody's playing an instrument, you think they would be a good thing to try to develop and improve their skills and abilities at it? Sure. Or somebody's just doing the technical work in the sound booth. You think it might be good if they learn more about how this system works or how things interface with whatever those guys are doing back there. Sure, absolutely. You know, so if you see a way in which you're able to serve the body and you're like, oh, I think I can get work at this and do better at it, do so. Do so. Okay? And when you're doing that, you're gracing others with your grace gift. And that's the last part of that verse. In fact, I'm going to start back at the beginning of the verse and then I'm going to finish off that very last phrase. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Consider this. When you use your gift within the body, you're being used as a means of God's grace to other people. You thought about that? When you use your gift, you're administering God's grace to other people. You know, your gift is God's grace bestowed upon you, but it wasn't given for you, for yourself. It was given for the benefit of others. And so when you look at a body and all the varied giftedness that's out there, it's also just in our church body, all the different giftings that he's given. When all those varied gifts are being used, that is God's grace flowing to believers through those gifts. And in fact, if you don't use your gift to benefit another believer or believers, you're just not doing it at all, have you considered you could very well be blocking God's grace to that believer in that area that he's gifted you? Because you've been given some enablement, however simple or maybe complex, you've been given something as a believer to benefit other people in God's kingdom. And if you're like, I just don't want to do it, or I don't think this is exciting enough, or whatever, then you're blocking God's grace at that point into another believer's life with what he has gifted you with. So your gift's important, okay? And that takes us to our next point, gifts. Gifts that are biblically used, they bring glory to God. Look at verse 11. I'll read through the whole verse and we'll work through it. Verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, 3 points I want to make out of this. First, number one, gifts should be used, only be used in agreement with Scripture. That first part there. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. So if you have, if your gift comes across in a verbal sense, where, you know, teaching, preaching, you're counseling, you're encouraging, maybe admonishing, all right? That all needs to be said only in line with Scripture, all right? And if you get into the nonverbal gifts, well, those all need to be used in obedience to Scripture, meaning it needs to be done in love, 1 Corinthians 13. It's always for the good of the other. We saw that 1 Corinthians 12:9. And like all of the Christian life, it ought to be used humbly. Okay? So gifts should be used in agreement with Scripture. Secondly, gifts should only be used in reliance upon God. If you look at that next phrase, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Remember, as a believer, God works through you. Okay, this is not your fleshly power that's being exhibited in spiritual gifts. This is God working through you, and you use your gift as you're being submitted to the Holy Spirit by being submitted to the Word of God. All right? That means we don't use the abilities that God has given us in a fleshly way. They're not there to puff up our pride. They're not there to show somebody else that you're better at something than they are. They should be used, well, speaking in this manner, they're a way of doing the one another's within the body, okay? When you're using a gift, you take if you look in Ephesians and Colossians, you see the taking off and the putting on, right? When you're using gifts, you need to make sure I'm taking off anything that is fleshly and selfish in how I'm doing it, and I'm putting on that which is honoring to God and helpful to others, right? That's what it is to be doing that in a biblical and a submissive way to the Holy Spirit. And always remembering, we're simply dependent upon the Holy Spirit to rightly use our gifts, to effectively use them. And when we're doing that, and gifts are humbly used, it will bring glory to God. All right, that last phrase there. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now that last phrase there that we just read, that applies more than to just the verse 10 there of the gifts and using them. It was much that Peter wrote just before that. But gifts are certainly a part of that. Okay? And so when we serve God, and we're doing so in a biblical mindset, serving for the good of the other, you know what? God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Okay? Now, I'm getting ready to transition here to a practical section here. You know, and I kind of may just lay the groundwork a little bit. We've talked about these gifts, started last week, and just briefly here a few minutes, and I'm going to guess that the majority of you sitting here in this room, if I asked you right now, what is your spiritual gifting? My guess is the majority of you would be hard-pressed to give a very definitive answer. I'm just going to guess. Some of you could say, yes, I know what it is right here, at least part of it. But I'm going to say, broadly speaking, a lot of us would say, I'm not real sure, all right? And so I think we respond to it in this way. Don't get too tied up in thinking you have to have this very well-defined, definitive answer as to what your spiritual giftedness is. Remember last week, not last week, 2 weeks ago, right? We talked about you're like a snowflake. Okay, you're probably a combination of all kinds of things that God has put into your life. And at conversion, right, He focused those as a gifting for you. And so simply put, you know, you can find out what you're capable of doing, all right? In some manner for the church body And if you just do that, if you find yourself, it's anything you can do that serves the body of Christ, I think you can be confident you're using your giftedness. Okay? And by the way, I'll mention this later, don't always view your giftedness as being used on Sunday mornings. You have Monday through Saturday as well, at which your gift can be utilized. All right? So I would say if you're capable of doing it, and you're doing that in humility for the glory of God, for the good of others, you're using your gift. Okay? And God's using you. So final summary here of kind of this, the biblical framework that we built here over 2 weeks ago and today. Number one, remember, the Holy Spirit has given each believer a unique giftedness determined solely by the Holy Spirit. All right? And that giftedness was given for the good of others, for the good of the body. Believers, we should steward that giftedness. We should steward our abilities. Develop them, okay, to use them to the best of your ability. And when you do so, you are allowing yourself to be used as a means of grace to others and thereby bring glory to God. So, with that said, roll into a little more practical here, some practical things with gifts. And I'm going to give you three practical aspects of gifts and serving. I gleaned these from another man by the name of, his name is Charlie Fernandez, and I believe he still was really on staff at Grace Community Church there in California, maybe even a staff pastor there. But three things, okay? We need to be connected, we need to be equipped, and then we just need to be serving. Okay, so let's run through these three things. Number one, we need to be connected. Okay, if you're going to be using your gifts in the body, you need to be connected. So if you're going to be connected, a couple of things. Number one, you need to be actively attending, right? You kind of need to be here. All right, so that's important. You need to be attending and you need to be participating. Okay, and to be involved. Every believer should be actively attending weekly services. Okay, we say today, right now, right? We'll be having a worship service here starting in about 45 minutes ish. Okay, Sunday morning worship is, I would say, the most important activity of the church, right? The singular most important activity. Tons of things go on, but this is a focal point. This is a time everyone comes together. We sit together under the teaching of God's Word. And when God's Word is being taught week after week, and everybody is together having our minds filled with the same truths. All right? And when that happens, that's building unity in the body. All right? Everyone's mind's being shaped by the same truth, which is critical for unity. The whole service is focused on worshiping our Lord. The songs, the scripture, the sermon, and just being together and doing that and participating together in that builds connection and unity with each other. Okay? It helps tie you together with other believers around you. You know what I mean? There's somewhere somebody say, "Oh, what's one of the number one things you can do, you know, in being involved in your church?" And they said, "Show up." Show up. But be all in.
The church is for the, it seems to be, how I read it, the church is for the equipping of the saints. And people tend to have taken kind of, our job, the same job, you know, we're out in the field, you know, every one of us every day in what we do, and in our interactions with people and stuff like that, and church is kind of just for equipping us with the truth and leading us, and
direction the Bible
focuses on. Yeah. Now we'll touch base. I think you're referencing Ephesians chapter 4 there. We'll take a look at that in a minute. Very good. Very good. So maybe just some practical advice here. I'll try not to get on a soapbox here. You know, if Sunday morning is important as we say it is, then maybe we need to prepare for it. And in that, Saturday night, you know what? If Sunday morning worship is really important, it'd probably be a good thing if we don't habitually spend out, stay out till midnight every Saturday night, right? Things probably aren't going to go too well Sunday morning. Right, you're snoring. You know, those of you that have kids, you know what I mean? Maybe you can lay things out, have the kids' clothes ready to go, you know? I made a note here that will, so you'll have less chaos in getting the family out the door. If you have little kids, you've got a certain amount of chaos. Just what it is, right? But if you're prepared for it, you can lessen the chaos. And so when you come to church, it's not quite so much of, okay, I'm still on my feet, right? You can read the scripture that will be preached on. You know, the bulletin, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Melissa, is normally uploaded before Sunday? Friday. Okay, usually the bulletin is uploaded on Friday. That'll give you the scripture text that's going to be preached. Okay, you can go take a look at that ahead of time. Okay, that'll help prepare you. And when you arrive here on a Sunday morning, be engaged. Speak to somebody, okay? When you're in the service, all right, focus on the words of the songs we sing. You know, those songs aren't just open up a songbook and rip out a song. Oh, we'll do that this Sunday. That'll fit best, right? I mean, they're purposely thought about. They're good songs with good words. So focus on those words of the songs. Listen to the scripture. There'll be scripture reading this morning, okay? Listen to that. And when the preaching is occurring, listen, take notes. I tend to be a note taker, but I'm never going to say that's what you should do, because some of our minds actually taking notes may distract you. I don't know what's best for you, but be focused, okay? Be focused. If you're a note taker, take notes. If you're not, listen attentively, okay? It's important. But so Sunday.
The songs, I certainly appreciate the songs because I know they're chosen with intentionality and to bring glory to God. Because I know there are a ton of so-called worship songs out there that seem to be a lot more focused on the person singing it and actually bringing glory to God.
You know, that's right. And that singing is not a time of entertainment. It is a time of your involvement and worship to God through that. So thank you for bringing that up. But now, Sunday morning, yes, it is a time for connection, but it's not only for that. It's not the only time that we time to connect. We have Sunday evening, right? Which is usually a time of for the adults, right? A time of teaching and instruction. It's probably a little less formal. All right, but Sunday evenings are an excellent time, particularly afterwards, to connect with other people and then get engaged in conversation with other people. Okay, and we can talk about what was preached on or what was taught. As well, if you're a member, you're enabled to be a part of a 5-11 small group. Okay, excellent opportunity to connect in closer fellowship with other believers. You share prayer requests. You kind of get a little more involved, know what's going on in each other's lives. A good place to be encouraged in your walk with the Lord. We have ladies' Bible studies and special events. We have men's Bible studies and special events at various times. In fact, this Friday, men, we've got a chili cook-off. And somebody will be here teaching us from Scripture. Okay, those are times to be encouraged together. Times for women, times for men. Prayer opportunities, Saturday mornings, once a month. Second Saturday of the month, 9 a.m. here at the church, we pray together. Okay? Everybody's welcome to be a part of that. As well as you come to church, you participate in the New Testament ordinances communion, first Sunday of the month. In fact, they'll be today, right? They'll be practicing the ordinance of communion today. We're together, you're sitting there with other believers, remembering Christ's death in your place. Baptism, we watch, we listen, we see how God has worked in someone else's life to bring them to Christ. Okay, so I just want to conclude. I said earlier, you know, number one, you show up, right? Somebody said you need to show up, but don't just show up and then bug out, okay? Take time to get connected, okay? Take time to get connected. Build connections with other people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay, now, I want to say this. I brought up all these opportunities here. I'm not saying, and the elders aren't saying that, okay, you must attend every event going on at CBC, if at all possible. Okay, all right, you need to choose, right? You're not going to be able to go to everything, all right? You need to choose what you can. But please make the effort to do more than just warm a pew on Sunday morning, okay? You need these opportunities for connection, and those around you need you, and they need your gifting, all right? Okay, so that was number one. We need to make connections. Number two, we need to be equipped. So here you go, Jeremy. So we just know we need to be connected, but as well, we need to be engaged in the church to be equipped as well. Okay? And serving really is really a part of doing the one another's of Scripture. You know, I had a list here. I don't know where I got it. I had 59 one another somewhere. I had this. I had a PDF on my computer. You know, a lot of us, when we're doing the one another's, it's not only what you're doing, but it's how you're doing it. When you're serving biblically, you know, I just look at this. I mean, somebody's put the, be at peace with each other, honor one another, stop passing judgments on one another, instruct one another, have concern for one another, be patient, bearing with one another. I mean, you go on and on, okay? That's when we're serving, that's what we're doing. And when we're part of the church, we're being equipped, okay, not just the mechanically the things we do, but the why we do them and the attitude in which we do them. You know, because to be equipped is to grow in Christ likeness. And if we're growing in Christ likeness, then we're going to serve more effectively, because there is no better servant than Christ himself, right? So here you go, Jeremy. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All right? So when we're serving one another, when the abilities and giftings that God has given us, and we're doing so in a biblical mindset, guess what? We're helping each other move along towards Christ likeness. And all of these things we just mentioned, oh, I went through all this list of things, where we can make connection, and when we're making connection, we're also being equipped, okay? So I can go back through that, right? Sunday morning service. Yeah, that's an equipping time, okay? You're being equipped when you're being instructed in the doctrinal truths from Scripture week in and week out. Classes like this, you know, or over in the auditorium, those are times of which you can be equipped. You know, Stan's class over there, it's kind of an ongoing class. We have things like this is a three-week class. Tim's going to have a three-week starting next week. Okay, so those are equipping opportunities. You know, I mentioned the men's and women's Bible studies, or the specific men's and women's events. Those are equipping times. Again, this Friday, man, there will be an opportunity to be equipped. The gentleman from Grace Bible Church in Hutchinson will be here. Okay? Sometimes special events, very special events. Ladies, I know usually you have a tea coming up. You have a ladies' conference oftentimes. Okay? I think men, we have the men and boys camp out in October usually. All right? Those are kind of just special events. But as well, not only are they fun events, but they're equipping times. Okay. In the summer, Eric Hirschberger, he gets together with the summer evangelism. We go out just to the parks or down by the river to evangelize. That's an equipping time as well. We have the bookshelf sits there in the foyer. And the big, I think, big black shelf, and there are books on there. Guess what? Those books themselves, those are tools for equipping, okay? And, you know, lots of other opportunities. But when you avail yourself of these opportunities, above and beyond Sunday morning, you're being further equipped for simply greater involvement and responsibility, okay? And thinking about that, it just reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which, by the way, is the basis of our 5:11 groups. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Right? In fact, when we talk about equipping, here's a bulletin. Here's today's bulletin. I don't know if you got a bulletin, but Tim pointed out last week, but small print with my eyes, I got a hold of Backaways. Right at the very bottom, the front cover of our bulletin. It's our the mission statement for our church. Our desire is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ by teaching and holding firm to the Scriptures. Next phrase, equipping believers in the church. That's what we put in our mission statement. Equipping is a part of the role of this church, okay? We've stated that and put that in a mission statement.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Could you try again?
Yeah, technology, right. You know, so if you're connected and in your connection you're being equipped, you know what? You're prepared to serve. You're prepared to serve. We saw it there in 1 Peter 4:10. I'll read that again. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, so if you're a believer here this morning, God, through His Holy Spirit, right, has enabled you in a very unique and special way to serve His church. And God is calling you to one simple thing. Maybe not easy, but a simple thing, and that is to serve His body, the church, by serving others within the body in some manner. Okay? Just a reminder, I just read our church purpose statement there, which speaks to equipping believers. And I also read it, Ephesians 4:12. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. Okay? The equipping is for a purpose. It's to better enable you to serve the body, serve other people in a Christ-like manner. Okay? Now, in light of that, when people become members here, in fact, this morning, we're going to have a public commitment of, I think there's six. They'll make it this morning. Okay, in the cold, of people that are decided to become members, and they make a commitment to our body, and the body makes a commitment to them. But in this matter of serving others, there's three things that they commit to. I'm just going to read you the second area, okay? And this is what the commitment is. It says, will you take seriously your participation at Cornerstone Bible Church to include fellowshipping with the saints, using your God-given gifts and resources, protecting unity in the church, praying for the ministry of Cornerstone Bible Church, and to stimulate love and good deeds with others at Cornerstone Bible Church. And those get drawn from Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, as well as Romans 12, 4 to 8. So that part two in there of that commitment is, a lot of that is serving others in the church. In large part, that just covers serving others in the church, which means using how God has enabled and has gifted you. So, just the encouragement. You know, if you're a believer, you have been gifted and you've been enabled in specific ways, okay, that the Lord can use to contribute to the good of the body. And I'll say this local body here, this is where you're at, you know, and that gift simply needs to be utilized in some way, you know. Now, I have a few things here. Kind of ongoing needs right now. Places right now where if God has gifted you in that way, that where things can be going on. First of all, there's always a need in the nursery. Okay? Now, men, you're somewhat limited to that. All right? On that. Something with a spouse, right? And older kids, I think. You know? But think about using your giftedness now. Think of the nursery. All right. I think, was it Tim or somebody the other day said, okay, how many of you out there have the gift of serving in the nursery? And there's probably not a whole lot of hands go up. You're like, hey, good, two hands. All right. I would encourage you, right? Because, I mean, working in the nursery sometimes is hard work, isn't it? I'm both of you raised hands. You'll even agree with that. It's not always easy. And you're not maybe getting a lot of accolades. You're maybe getting spit on. But guess what? That's a need for the body. Okay? Another one, children's ministry. Travis oversees that. Lots of activity going there. Always help to, can be used there. We have ushers, right? Ushers that help seat people, pass the offering bags. We have greeters that greet you at the front door when you come in. Always opportunities in the sound booth. Chris probably has some knowledge on that. As well as singers, all right? There's always use singers, those of you that have the ability to be on tune, right, with your voice. That's why you don't see me up there. Instrumentalists. I think we have, right now, we can use instrumentalists. We have lots of strings up there. We have the Manson family, all right, and a few others. But opportunities of that, so I don't know if any of you have instruments you play. I got a list here in a minute. I'll show you of lots of ministry areas in the church. But, you know, there's just things that can be done, okay? There's things that are done here on Sunday morning. There's also things that get done throughout the week. Sometimes if you're the one-on-one type person and you can take God's word and encourage people, man, that's a gift. That's a gift, you know what I mean? Sometimes even maybe bring admonishment to somebody when it's needed and do so in a way that's not overtly offensive. That's a gift. That's a gift to do that, okay? So just final application. So where do you start in using God's gifting to you? Okay. Repeating again, don't focus on some singular ability. We said that before. Assume you contain a variety of giftedness. There could be several ways of which you could potentially benefit others and serve the Lord. Somebody has said, look for a need. Just look for a need and you think, well, yeah, or, you know, maybe when somebody says, man, we need help. In fact, this morning I'll probably announce it. We need to have snacks made for PVE ministry. Well, I don't know if you're good for cooking up snacks. I don't know what they ask for. All right. But that's a way of serving. All right. Could you do that? All right. So look for a need. When you see a need or you hear of a need and you think, hey, I could help with that. All right. As simple as that, you'll be using your giftedness. Okay. And always assume there's more than one area. Now, I want to say it's okay. You may try something, you work at it, and it's like, that just didn't work out. It's okay to say, you know what? I don't think God designed me for that. Okay? But don't let that mean that if it's not fun, okay, you shouldn't do it. Okay? But it is okay sometimes to say, that was not a good fit. Right? It's okay. Don't use it as an excuse to do nothing. But it's okay to say that if it really worked out that way. Other believers can give you good input. Maybe they seen you, you watch them, they've noted, you know what, hey, I see your ability over here. Listen to that. Okay, listen to what other believers, particularly mature believers, have to say. And, you know, when you serve, do remember this. Probably most everything, if it's done kind of within the church here, there's a structure, there's a protocol to it. So part of serving with your gift is the humbleness, the humility to submit to whoever may be the leader over it, right? The humble attitude. And with that said, use your gift. Use what God has enabled you to do. Do what you're able to do. And remember, it may not happen just on Sunday, okay? Maybe it's phone calls. You just call and you encourage somebody. Somebody's been in the hospital. You call them up. Well, they've had a struggle in their life. You call them, you pray with them on the phone. Jeremy?
Yeah, and you might be going to get there. It kind of hit on a point that reminded me of, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about being all parts of one body. And, you know, one part can't say to another, hey, I have no need of you. And that's kind of fits in there with the gifts, you know. This guy is service or cleaning or whatever is lower than my gift of preaching, you know, and you can't look down on him because of that, and because you're all part of one body. And say, I'm just at the top of my head, because I was talking to a friend of mine about that yesterday, and his gifts aren't being appreciated. But I think that's an important mention when it comes into appreciating other people's gifts in the body. Lifting them up as well. Yeah. Where they serve in the body and what gifts they have and whatnot.
Yeah, good point. In fact, I'll just say in that sometimes, have you ever been it from somebody that just gave you a little thank you card for something? Is that encouragement? I mean, you know, there are some people, they're just really good at that. And they just know the right words to say, you know, and they're God-honoring words. They're not just, oh man, you're a great dude, man. Yeah. No, they're not flattering you, okay? They're genuine encouragement in the Lord. That's a gift. That's a gift. And so show up on Sunday. Be looking. Be listening. Be thinking how you can contribute to another believer, whether it's Sunday or during the week. And remember, if you're not using it, you might be withholding God's grace to somebody, okay? So 9:59.
Oh, I was just going to say that what you're saying about little things, they really can. I remember Mark Allen, he'd gone to somebody's house for dinner, and when he got there, the wife said, how can I pray for you? And that made a big impression on him. He told me the next Sunday. And
yeah.
Then also, like the Luces, they did a really cute thing. They had their kids, and I don't know who was on their list or who got what, but they sent out little cards. They said, hello, I think. Right around Christmas time, I got one. Mine was signed by Adam and Old Boy.
Yeah.
But they did them as a group, and it was thoughtful. They were just a little thank you card, making you feel good. You've been thought of, you've been and it's through the pictures and everything, you can tell. So that's what you
do. Yeah. Very simple things can be used to God's glory. I got about 10 of these, the CBC ministry leaders, some various things, and who oversees it. If you want one, I've got about 10 of these up here. If you just want to grab them, take a look at it if you desire. But With that said, it's time to, I'll close in prayer, and we can then be heading across to our worship service. Father, we do thank you that you're a kind God. Father, just think that you've enabled each believer in some way to build the body, and to build the body up that we grow in Christ's likeness. And Father, just thank you for not only this class, but Father, we go to worship service. Father, that's an opportunity to make connections, to be equipped, and Father, surrounding all of that, maybe just truly worship Christ this morning. And we ask it all in his name. Amen. All right.